Chapter 20. An Autumn Leaf. Bidi felt as if he had been trampled by a herd of pigs. Even after the great master's ministrations, his body protested every movement. He could not even perform his daily tasks, but the great master's benevolence was limitless. He was bid to rest and recover, and was also praised for his defense of Faram. Even though it was his fault that great Faram had been in danger in the first place, he had been taken in by Chaoji's lies, and he was now shamed. He sat upon the great pillars, but today it was not to cultivate strength. Today it was to rid himself of it. The chi that had been added to his soul was tainted, and there were impurities throughout his body. So he expelled his chi. He carefully released it into the air as to not infect the land with his own folly. He carefully examined his chi, each and every portion, and stripped out the parts that he could not be entirely sure were pure. It would be the work of weeks, if not months, to carefully remove every piece of tainted energy without destroying himself completely and having to start over. A delicate task. Until that time, he could not bear to look upon his cracked and scarred blades of moonlight. The physical impurities, the ones lodged within his body, were another problem. One that he needed assistance with. Sister Vizu, his master's smallest disciple, used her chi to coat them and, working together, they broke them down. He knew his great master was righteous beyond compare and able to sense good in the hearts of others. Even though her kin were wicked, Rizu's spirit was just, and she had been given a name of power and a place upon great Faram. Sister Vizu spent her time with his humble self or with Brother Tongki, tending to his wounds. His brother disciple could finally stand again, but he was lesser, diminished. The spark that was in the rest of them seemed to flicker and fade within Chunki's eyes, barely hanging on. He had nightmares some nights, squealing and whimpering. Bidi flagellated himself in his mind for his ill thoughts on both of his master's disciples. They had proved themselves far better judges of character than he, and he feared that Brother Chunki had paid a terrible price for it. His brother disciple was perhaps crippled for life. His mind had dulled and had perhaps returned to an unthinking one. Bidi knew only shame. The bitter taste in the back of his beak intensified. Truly, in this world, there was no medicine for regret. He would clean the pig pens in penance and kowtow 100 times before the land's spirit and Brother Chunki. The burn of shame in his beak was accompanied by a burn in his chest. He winced as his concentration faltered and his chi recoiled, the energy within harming him. He nodded his thanks to Sister Rizu as she too fell back, panting slightly from aiding him. She bowed her head to him and clambered up to her usual spot upon his back. Sister Rizu made sure she was accompanied by one of the other disciples at all times, for the great master had brought along one more to add to their number. Bidi greeted Tigu respectfully as she ambled past, and she turned her nose up at him. No anger swelled within his breast, for her derision and contempt were well earned. He knew not what to make of Tigu. She had a wicked form, with sharp teeth and claws, almost as Basibushi. Yet if the great master trusted her, she must have a noble heart. Still, she was aloof and arrogant. She ignored the other disciples of the great master and insisted on going alone about her business. She slept in the great master's bed often, and he was very affectionate towards her. Yet she was of a carnivorous bent and eyed Sister Rizu most disagreeably. But she was powerful, and her power was needed. The curse that stained the land called wicked members of Chaoji's kin. Tigu slew them mercilessly. She stalked them with a grace that Basibushi would have envied, and her claws were the death of all that stood before her. Her arrogance was off-putting, but she contributed to great Faram while he was weak. For reasons unknown to him, the great master had left the taint Chaoji embedded in the soil. The great master likely intended to use it as training and food for Tigu. Perhaps, when she was mighty enough, he would remove the taint. The previous week had made clear the need for multiple defenders of this blessed land. Bidi returned to the coops and rested his body. He would need all his strength for tomorrow to continue to strip the taint from his body. My property passed me by as I trudged through it, working in a rough grid. My mind was wandering as I thought. I seemed to be getting into the habit of giving female animals male names, first Tigger and now Rizzo. Although the little one was probably significantly braver than my favorite Muppet, considering she'd gone against evil Splinter, that little bastard had done a number on both my seasonings and my animals. Big D was no longer as energetic these days, which was a shame. I liked seeing him hop all over my fence. When I asked him if he was okay, he just bowed his head and, after a while, nodded. Man, it's so weird that they're people. It was something I was still wrapping my head around. Peppa was constantly around Chunky and tried to goad him to play, but my poor little boy was still hurting. He was uncoordinated at the best of times and nearly catatonic at the worst. I spent a lot of time with him, letting him lean against me and making sure he didn't get any worse. Rizzo was helping too, and the pig seemed to like her. Everyone seemed to be getting along well, except Tigger, who was most certainly a cat. I had some suspicions about her, too, seeing as she mostly ignored Rizzo while brutalizing the rest of the rat population. She lined the corpses of the ones she didn't eat up for inspection outside my wall, which was kind of gross, but she was doing her job. The rats went into the fire. Joe's memories relayed the times he had to eat rats to me, which churned my stomach something fierce. I got the mental feeling of detachment. To him, meat was meat. But after getting actual food again, he would rather not, and I agreed with him. Rats are gross, except for Rizzo, she's a good girl, was entirely too ingrained into my psyche. Only if I'm starving. Still, even with this incident, life went on. Fish were salted and smoked, vegetables pickled, and the house started to come along nicely, if I did say so myself. I'd based it a bit on a Japanese design, the Satoyama. Basically, the house had part of the river inside it, and you used the running water to wash dishes and had carp to eat some of your scraps. The only problem was, I had never built a house quite like this before, so there was a lot of trial and error going on. I had done houses and barns in the before, but this close to water, flooding was a major concern. Still, there was a nice wood interior, and I was planning to have some windows. I would need to sell some more rice, but glass here was cheaper than I'd been expecting it to be. It was still bloody expensive, but a price I could manage. Some lacquer for the floorboards would be required, but nothing could really be done until the frame was up. It also would need some nice fireplaces. Sure, the winter wasn't as bad as I was used to, but there was no excuse to slack and not have the creature comforts I desired. Joe had had some experience on the streets, and I respected him for surviving it. I had pretty much been roughing it for a while as well. The thought of a nice, warm house appealed greatly to me. That, and you could cheat a little, as it was Xianxia land. Light crystals were a bit pricey, but probably worth it in the long run, and if I could find a fire crystal, I could get a self-heating bath. Or a sauna. Hell yeah, a sauna sounds awesome. I'd been bathing in the river every day, but that would be pretty hard in the winter. It would be cold as hell, man. I yawned as I continued my wandering. I had been a bit lax in exploring my property. I had followed the river and found the boundaries, but for the most part, I had been too busy working to have a real in-depth exploration. So that was the plan today. I hadn't really found anything too special yet, just beautiful trees turning into their fall colors. It was such a nice view, and it almost reminded me of Algonquin. I should invite some people to have a nice lunch and do a fall colors viewing. I always loved doing that in the before, but the timing was super awkward. Probably not going to happen this year, but something to think about. The leaves were falling whenever there was a breeze, drifting down around me. Smiling, I reached up to grab a falling leaf out of the air. It was a lovely red color and perfectly formed. I froze. It was also a very familiar shape. A spiky leaf with five lobes, the bane of every child trying to draw the flag. Little key-shaped seed pods littered the ground around it. I thought Xianxia land was supposed to be China. The culture, the food, most of it seemed like it had come from around there. But this? This was something from my home. Something of the before. A massive grin formed on my face as I walked into a brilliant red grove. It smelled so familiar. It felt so right. For the first time in a long time, I remembered. the laughter and voices of my mother and father, the simple joy of a walk with my family, the gaping hole it had left when it was gone. A single tear rolled down my cheek as I just stayed there for a while, soaking in the smell of leaves and the crisp air.